Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of John, John chapter 1, and we will begin in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ. We thank you so much for the life that we have in Him. We thank you for who Jesus Christ is. In the midst of a dark and declining world, we have hope because we know Christ. May we always keep that forefront, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. He says in verse 5 that the light, speaking of Christ, shines in the darkness. He means the world is in the darkness, both in regard to the truth and in their lifestyle. They just live in darkness. So let me tell you how to observe what you read in the paper, you hear on the news, what you see around you. Imagine on the news every day you saw the front page headline, 90,000 without electricity, 100,000 without electricity, all of New York without electricity, all of Atlanta without electricity, except pockets of here, all this city without electricity. And that would be the news. That would be the headline. Now, there would be places in America that had light. A little light here, a little light here. Electricity hadn't not grown there. But for the rest of them, you know what the headline news would be? Thousands without electricity. Well, that's what you're reading when you read your newspaper and you listen to the news. You're listening to the world and its darkness. And what you're reading is, they don't realize what they're doing, but you're just simply reading the darkness. The world without Christ. And it looks despairing. But the truth is, that's the world. We know Christ. And that's what makes a difference. I want you to notice three things about this passage. One, Jesus is the revealer of God. He is called the Word. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, he's not talking about the Bible. He's talking about Christ. And the Bible uses him as the Word. What it means is, just as I use words to communicate to you and to talk to you, and you use words to talk to me, that's how we communicate. Well, Jesus Christ is the communication of God. He is the Word. That is how God has revealed himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be nice if God would come and visit us today, walk in this building, say hello to us and talk to us? Well, I can assure you he already has come to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the revealer of God. You know, someone who cannot hear has to, if all they can do is words and they cannot hear, they don't know what's being spoken to them, or vice versa. I've been in situations where maybe there are places where you don't hear the words and all you can see is the sign language and you don't know what's being said. Well, the world is in darkness. They don't know who God is. They don't know how he is and what he is and how to have a relationship with him. And so Jesus Christ is the Word. He is the communication of God. His life is recorded in the first four books of the New Testament. His life is looked at all through the Old Testament in shadows and pictures and the tabernacle and all that. The apostles spoke often of Christ and who he is. Our life, our understanding of God comes because Jesus Christ has come to communicate God to us. Now, I don't mean you have to use Jesus all the time, but be wary of people who in our world today talk about God and faith and all that, but nowhere do they center on Christ. Christ is the communication of God to us. Second thing I want you to notice. Jesus Christ reveals God to us because he is God. He is God. There are five things he mentions in this passage of Scripture that point to the deity, that point to Jesus being God. The first one I notice in verse 1, his eternal existence. He says, in the beginning was the Word. And he says, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. This refers back to the time of creation. That is, when creation came in the beginning, Jesus Christ was. That is, he already existed before the creation. He has always been. It is in the imperfect tense, which means continuing existence. He was in continuous existence before the world was created. In the beginning was. That is, when we look at creation and here the world was created, the tense means that Christ already existed. He has always been. He has always been the eternal one. Jesus Christ is not just the man upstairs. He is the eternal God because he has always been. I could try to illustrate it this way. It's inadequate. But you know, someone becomes great grandparents. Maybe they've lived a long life. They've always been here about 80 years, 70 years, or whatever, and they have great grandchildren or grandchildren, whatever. When that baby comes into the world, they've already existed for the last 80 years. That child doesn't know that, doesn't understand that, but they've already been in existence. Well, when the world started, Christ always was here. He was already here. He was the one. He told them, the Pharisees said, before Abraham was, I am. So Jesus Christ can reveal God because he is God, and we know he is God because he has always existed. Second thing, he is of the same essence of the Father. Notice what he says in verse 1. And the Word was with God, the same was in the beginning with God. That refers to the Trinity. With God is a Greek expression, which means two people who are face to face with one another. Meaning that Jesus Christ has always been, but he was with God, with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. Referring to his divine essence. He has always had fellowship with the Father. That's what it means he was with God. Because the Father is God, the Holy Spirit is God. He has had fellowship with them. They are in harmony with one another. Not only does that mean that they've had fellowship, but it means he's of the same nature as the Father. Jesus said oftentimes, I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Meaning that I'm of the same essence, the same nature as the Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit. I'm God, and I have been with the Father. Referring to what we don't quite fully grasp is the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Meaning with God, I am part of a Trinity. We're not three gods. We are one God in our divine essence, but we exist in three persons. Jesus Christ's deity and equality with the Father is non-negotiable. There's some things that I tolerate as a pastor. There's some things I don't. There's some things I have a line. You don't believe this, that's it. I don't just disagree with you, you're wrong, and that's it, period. There are some things that I understand people disagree on theologically. Okay, I'll tolerate it. Maybe not within the church that I'm pastoring, but I'll tolerate it because we're Baptists and that's what we are. I understand other people believe differently, that's okay. Not going to make a big deal about it. But this is non-negotiable. Jesus Christ is the eternal God, equal with the Father, of the same divine essence. Thirdly, notice it says it specifically. And the Word was God. The Bible clearly reveals he has always been. Therefore, who better to communicate God to us than God himself? He's always been with the Father. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. And then the Bible specifically says he was God. Man, he has always been God. When people flippantly use the name of Christ in conversation, they're really taking the Lord's name in vain, because Christ is God. He is God. He's always been God. He is the eternal God. What better person to come to earth to communicate God to us than God himself? Fourthly, then notice what it says. Verse 3. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He is, fourthly, the creator. Only God is the creator. Only God spoke and the world came into being. And he says that all things were made by him. That is Christ. Genesis 1 starts, Christ is part of that. God created the heavens and the earth. Christ is part of that. He is the creator. All things were made by him. And then it wants to tell you the other way. And without him was not anything made that was made. He is the creator. He spoke and created the world that you live in, you and I live in. He created the man and the woman. He created the human race. He is the creator. Everything came into existence only through the person of Christ. Colossians says that he sustains all things. Scientists don't quite understand why the universe is flowing, going through great speed. All the planets are moving. They don't quite understand why it just don't just fly out and go crazy. Because Jesus Christ is sustaining it all. He's holding it all together. He is the creator. Well, what better person to come to earth to explain to us God than the creator himself? The one who made you, the one who made me, the one who made everyone. What better person to come to this earth and say, hey, let me explain to you what I meant. Let me explain to you how I did it. Let me explain to you your purpose in life. Let me explain to you have a relationship with me. I am the creator. It's interesting. The world, and that's really Romans 1, basically stops and says, no, there's no creation. It's evolution. It's evolution. And so there's no creation. Romans 1 says, when they knew God, didn't mean they knew him personally, but when they knew there was some idea of God, they then rejected that and made up their own God. Well, we made up the God of evolution. It's everywhere. You can't teach anything other than evolution. And yet, that is one of the most basic levels of God revealing himself. All creation was created by Jesus Christ. He is the creator. Thus, he can explain. Fourthly, notice what it says in verse 4. In him was life. In him was life. What that means is, one, that Jesus Christ is self-existence. He has life within him. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me to sustain that life. He has always been. My life is dependent upon God. I'm not independent. I can't maintain this life. I live by my own strength. It's in the hands of God. The very breath of God we have comes from God. But God doesn't need that. God doesn't need us. In him is life. He is the self-existent God. He is permanent, eternal, non-changing in his life and person. He is the source of all life. He is the eternal God. So, who better to explain? Sometimes when I go to Iowa, Iowa is Iowa. We rode out recently and her father showed us where he grew up and his grandparents' house and all that. And I guess I've only driven on the interstate. And now I know where all the corn is. We drove out in the backwoods, and I'm going, okay, all I see is 7-foot corn. You drive by, you can't see anything else. Oh, there's the house. Surrounded on all three sides by corn. Everywhere is corn. And so they have to kind of explain to me a little bit about what it's like. Well, I go up there and I'm sort of the southern ambassador. And I kind of have to explain the southern ways, you know, to them. And explain to them, what better person? I grew up in the South. What better person to tell them about the South than someone who's been there? Well, what better person to tell you about God than God himself? That's why he says, he is the word who reveals because he's God. Thirdly, he is the revealer of God and his ways. Notice what he says. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Or that Greek word means cannot resist it. What does he mean? The very life of Christ, the very life that he is the light for people to see. You know, if I'm in a darkened room here, come over sometimes at night, come over to turn on the air when it's dark, I know where it is, but I kind of have to stumble around. The simplest thing for me to do is, rather than fumble around the dark, is just switch on the light. Oh, now I can see. Well, Jesus Christ, in his very nature, when he came to earth, his very life is the light for people to see. I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. A couple of weeks ago, on vacation Bible school night, the electricity went out all afternoon. And we sort of waited at 6 o'clock till it came on, or we were going to cancel vacation Bible school. And you know what's interesting about that? Is it been out all afternoon, and ain't a thing I can do about it. I have no power. I can't come over here and stick my finger in the electric socket and have power flow through me and turn on the light. I have no power. Zero. Until the electricity clicks on. Ah, now we have power. Now we have life. There is no life. There is no power. There's nothing that anybody has spiritually unless they have Christ. And Christ's very life is the light for men to see. How do people know there's a God? You tell them about Christ. How do you know about God? You get to know Christ. He's the light. And then he says this. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. The word comprehend means not, partly could mean to doesn't understand it, but it also could mean that they cannot resist it. I've said before that if you come into a room that's dark, you don't get rid of the darkness by yelling at it. Darkness, go away. You don't get rid of the darkness by yelling at it and letting it have it and cursing the darkness. You know how you get rid of the darkness? You turn on the light. And Jesus Christ is the light, shined out into that darkness and said, hey, I'm the way. I'm the way to a dark and dying world. And the darkness cannot resist it. Meaning it will never put out the light. Darkness goes away when you turn the light on. And darkness, as long as that light is shining, the darkness may be dark in other places, but as long as that light is shining, that darkness cannot overcome it. That darkness cannot put that light out. That light is the thing that makes the darkness go away. And that's what he means. The darkness, he shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not resist it. Light puts out darkness. So I'll describe to you this way. In America, and particularly when you pick up your newspaper, particularly when you read what's going on, when you hear the insanity of the world we're living in, what you're simply reading about is all the darkness and the lights out. And so that's what gets the headlines. The lights out. if all of a sudden all of Georgia went in the dark and there was a couple of places not around Boston or Valdosta, that wouldn't be the headline they might mention. The headline would be, all of Georgia's in darkness. That's what the world reports on. Here's the darkness. Every time you read that crime, every time you read that insane comment by a person who shows they don't know what they're talking about, they don't know the truth, they don't reflect the truth, you're listening to darkness. But I want to assure you this, there's a whole lot of light around. There's light at my house. We don't live in the darkness. We know Jesus Christ. We know His Word. We know the way. We walk with Him. And it's not dark. And there's a lot of light in Boston. There's a lot of light in Thomas County. Now, they're not going to put it on the headlines. Christians have done wonderful things. That's not going to be the headline. What's going to be a headline is the darkness. But in the midst of that darkness shines the light of Christ. And how does He do that? Well, notice, if you will, verse 14. Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. How did Christ reveal? He came to us. He came to us. It's kind of like when Rick does the children's sermon. He tries to come down to where they are, to speak on their level. Well, God is so much greater than you and I, but in order for us to halfway understand Him, Christ came as a man, walked this earth. And John says, He dwelt among us, and we watched Him. We saw His glory. We saw His power. We saw His miracles. We saw His greatness. We saw Him. And that Jesus asked them, and they knew who He was. You are the Son of the living God, meaning you are the eternal God. Where else will we go? You're the one. Jesus, the scripture later on says in the next verses, that He came into His own and they rejected Him. They resisted Him, but not everyone does. How do you know God? You have a feeling? That's all right. But that's not how you know God. You know God because you know Christ. He is God who came to us that we may know Him and enjoy Him and that we may live in the light. Probably in the last month, I don't know about you, but you just sort of get the feeling the darkness is oversweeping the world, oversweeping America. You sort of feel like Christians are just sort of, not all, but some Christians are just living in the dark. They don't have a clue. They don't know the truth. They don't know Christ, and they don't reflect that. And you just sort of get a feeling that darkness is coming. There's a lot going on in the Middle East. It may not be now, but you may not know this, but Russia has made a lot of deals outside of Iran with Saudi Arabia and others. One of the things that will happen in the end times, either before we're raptured or after, is that there will be a confederation of nations that will come down and attack Israel. Well, the whole Middle East is being set up, and we're being weakened as a nation to prepare that. Now, that may not be, because God will come back when He's ready. But the truth is, it's dark. But you know what? There's much light. There's a lot of light in here. You know Christ. You know who He is. You know the way. That's the light. You go out into the world and people are just living crazy. And yet, in the midst of that, you're to bring just a little bit of light, a little joy, a little grace, a little peace, a little contentment, a little goodness. Because you're a light. You may go in a place and, man, is this place dark. They're using profanity. They're going crazy. Well, you just come right in there and, and you just realize you got a little flashlight in you, and you're just here to shine a little light on the thing by being gracious and being kind and being good. On our trip to Iowa, we came back, and no problem for me. Came back for a funeral. We left afterwards and headed on up, and we stopped in Manchester, Tennessee. I sort of had it in my mind that we were leaving late, and I didn't want to drive too far. I wanted to get to the motel early and rest a little bit and have about 10 hours. I told Deanne, where's 10 hours at? And she said, about Manchester. So we stopped and got us a nice motel, got us some supper, had a good time and all that. And so finally, get ready to go to bed. If you don't know it, I have a sleep apnea, and I have to have a sleep apnea machine. I got my bag there, unload it. I'm pulling it out. And I go, uh-oh, Deanne, we are in trouble. I got my machine, but I don't have the electric cord to it. And it's not just your average electric cord. It's one of those power strips. And it only goes with that. We are in trouble. We're going to have to go back. We're not going back. So I go to Walmart and ask him. He said, sorry, what we have will burn it up. You've got to have a special attachment. We are in trouble. Deanne got on the internet, and she's an internet whiz. And when I woke up that morning, she said, guess what? What? I have found a medical supply place 5 miles down the road. They have this particular model, and they'll sell it to us for only about $70. He said they got it. So we drive down there 5 miles down the road, get off interstate. Out in the middle of a cornfield is this nice building, medical supply place. We go inside, it's got every medical thing you ever want. Man looks around a while, he comes back, and I look at it and go, yep, that's just what I got at home. That's just what I needed. You know what the man told me? He said, you're fortunate, fella. He said, because there's not many of us places around. We're one of the few places in many states, and you just happen to stop at the right one. Well, I don't say God led me there, because they didn't. But this is what I say. This is how I look at it. God takes our choices and our things and so sovereignly works around it to produce the desired result that is needed. God knew I was dumb and left the electric cord. He knew where the place was. We found it. Let me tell you something today. Walk with God. Be light in the world, because boy, do they sure need it. They may not like you, and they may hate us, but hallelujah, not everyone does. Let's pray. Father, we love you today, and we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we as Christians do not live in the dark. We know the truth. Now, we don't know everything, but we know the truth of heaven and who you are. We know your word and how to walk with you and not to walk in ways that are immoral or wicked or ways that are displeasing to you. We're not in the darkness. We're in the light. But you said in your word, we're to walk as we are in the light, not as if we're in the darkness, because we're not if we know Christ. May you encourage us today, Lord, in the midst of a world that seems to be coming unglued. May you encourage us, Lord, that we have the light. We're probably like the children of Israel, that when you brought the plagues, all the land was dark. And yet, the Bible says there was light in the children of Israel's homes. That's sort of the way it is, Lord. All around us is darkness. People who need Christ, people who need to know of him, people who need to walk with him. And yet, where we live, there's light. And Lord, help us to be that light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.